Blog Talk Radio.
I'll just listen on this one.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Well, welcome to our show. And we are in Oregon now. Yesterday we were in Vegas. So it's just amazing how this technology works, that we can do this radio show regardless of where we are. Thank you, Carol, for getting us started on this. The call-in number is 646-200-4169. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, and the temperature's dropped about 50 degrees, so we're in a little different environment today. Although they say it's supposed to go up into the 70s or low 80s here in Oregon today. We're going to start doing workshops actually this evening. So we were on a plane about, 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning. And now we're in Ashland, Oregon. Looking forward to the next 14 days of workshops. If you know anybody in this neck of the woods, please jump on the website, www.whyagain.com. Click on schedules. You'll know exactly what we're doing. So, Jeannie, I think we had some questions yesterday that we didn't get finished with, and or is there anybody on the phone with a question or the chat room? David and Terry with us. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning? And Tim. Terry's not. Tim is.
Good morning,
Dr. Tim. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Good. How are things in Chicago?
Well, it's I stayed in the same place, and it's almost 50 degrees cooler now than it was yesterday at this time.
Oh, really?
Isn't
that bizarre?
Almost 100 to down to almost 50 degrees last night. So we're having a nice rainy day. Plenty of moisture for the plants.
Uh-huh. And they're loving it.
They're loving it.
The ducks.
The ducks, yes. Is David on? David was wrapping
morning,
up
David.
The show
how
last
you be
night.
This morning? I guess we should say good afternoon.
I am
to,
on.
David.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey. How are you this morning, sir? Good afternoon.
I'm doing very well.
Really does prove how much of an illusion time is when I say it's morning for me and it's afternoon for you. It's like, who made this up anyway? Just like a lot of what we experience in our lives, somebody made it up. Somebody bought it, and when we bought it, we found that we stopped functioning as human beings, and started functioning as human doings, and started to play all kinds of crazy games of hostility and fear. And I think today is day
11.
11 of our celebration. I'm glad you're keeping track there, Tim. We just finished unpacking some bags and arriving at the place we're staying at. So day 11 of our celebration of Memorial Day. We want to continue to memorialize every person on this planet that has ever been forced to kill another human being in war, been killed in war, or been injured, maimed, and the families who suffered as a result of it. And we're here to ask everyone to engage in a project with us. And the project is, we want to evaporate war from planet Earth. Why does war happen? War happens because men have hostility and fear. And when we choose to be responsible and heal our hostility and fear, we will disappear war from the earth. That's our project. That's one of our projects, of many, many projects that we're working on. So will you join us in the celebration of Memorial Day today by picking one issue, one situation in your life where you have some form of hostility or fear? I got the opportunity this morning, just since about 4:30, since we left this morning, to do about four of them. And so will you join us in picking at least one issue that you're willing to move through and use forgiveness to change? And if you're new to the conversation, forgiveness, in our parlance, has nothing to do with letting somebody else off the hook because of what's happening inside of you. Forgiveness is the tool with which you go inside yourself and change the content of your own mind. And if the content of your mind is based in any form of hostility or fear, forgiveness is how you can remove it, how you can move into a different space and reclaim your human life. And, you know, it's interesting. Virtually everybody that I speak to, everybody says, yay, that sounds awesome. I want to live in the absolute presence of love 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of my life. Wow, what a fabulous idea. Oh, what? You mean you want me to change something in me? What? You want me to be responsible for what's happening in my life? You want me to do some work to change? I thought I could just have this thing, forgiveness thing. Oh, what? You want me to understand the process? Wait a minute. You mean you actually want me to do something to change my life? No, I'd rather just listen to the radio show and go, oh, well, that was interesting. That was fun and stimulating and nice intellectual stuff. What wonderful things to say, and go on with my life the way it's always been. Excuse me, folks. Not going to happen that way. You and I, if we want to change what's happening in our lives, have to be willing to go inside ourselves and change it. Well, you see, I don't have any problems. It's all those other people out there. Oh, really? Have you noticed that every time that all those people out there did it to you, you were there? Guess what, folks? You're involved in your life. You're part of the process. And I have some really, really bad news. And the bad news is there is only one problem in your life, and you're it. Fortunately, there is one solution, and you are that too. It all lies within you. The hostility, the fear, the active presence of love is yours, if you want to have it, and if you're willing to do the work required. So that's where we want to go, www.whyagain.com, right-hand side of the page. Click the link that says Download Worksheets. And when you do that, the first link in that section is an explanation of the whole process of forgiveness. The second link is a worksheet. Here's how you do it. Here's how you go inside yourself and change the content. We invite you to celebrate Memorial Day with us. Celebration Day 11. And we're going to carry this celebration on until we've cleaned up the insanity called war on planet Earth. So, Jeannie, you have a question for us?
Yes, this is left over from yesterday. And we had addressed one of the questions about the difference between projecting our issues on someone else versus them mirroring our stuff back to us. But another question the same person had was, I should always be considering that my goals may not only be for myself, but possibly also for the other person involved. And I'm not real sure on this one what they meant on it. If they're talking about doing the worksheet, the goal is always about the object of attention. But you may want to address that from several different perspectives. And then we have one more question from the same person.
Okay, well, let's cover that one first. And, you know, we come into this world, and in our genetic structure, we have goals for just about everything we're ever going to meet in our lives. Some of those goals, when we activate them inside of us, link to our hostility and fear. And when they do, we have a problem. And the problem is that we have reduced vision. The problem is that we can't see outside of what that goal links to. And if it links to our hostility and fear, then through our minds, we see that the person we hold that goal for or the situation we hold that goal for has a problem, and their problem is causing us hostility and fear. That's, of course, a big LOL, laughing out loud. Nobody can cause hostility and fear in you that isn't in you. But if you activate a goal for somebody, and that goal, and here's where the problem lies, that goal links to your hostility or fear, then your perception is going to be defiled. Your intelligence is going to be reduced because your hostility or fear will be projected into pictures your mind makes, and of course our culture teaches us that everybody else is responsible for that. Our culture teaches us they made me angry, they made me sad, they made me afraid. No, the reason I have anger, sad, fear, or any of those other things is because that's contained within my tissue structure. When my goal is activated, the core of forgiveness is that when I cancel the goal, I get to see where the root of my hostility and fear is. And then I get to dissolve it. That's the idea, the bottom line idea of the worksheet process. And so we're inviting you to take that tool and put it to work. Now, I can do a worksheet on, and I can remember when I was a kid, one of my favorite stories about worksheets is, when I was a kid, there was this movie where they had these guys that had an old Model A Ford, and they rob a bank, and they're racing out of town to get away. And as they're pulling out of town, there's a curve at the end of town, and the guy drives off the road, and he drives into a tree, smashes up the car, and he gets out of the car, and he shoots the car. Like the car is the problem in his life. And anybody that's ever aimed a gun at somebody, like they were the problem in your life, whether the gun was a verbal gun, an emotional gun, a fist, or whatever, it's just about as dumb as the guy who shoots the car blaming the car for the fact that he drove off the road. So when we hold a goal for any situation or object of attention, you get up in the middle of the night, anybody ever stub your toe on a chair and go into a fit of rage and either obliterate or want to obliterate the chair? That would be a worksheet on a chair. I had a goal for that chair. Now, I put it in the middle of the room where it normally isn't, but my goal is for it to be back in the corner where it belongs, for my feet to be safe. And so when I put a goal into my mind, that goal selects and limits the data available for my mind to build its perceptions. And if I want to get to what's underlying my hostility and fear, as I cancel that goal, I collapse the projection, and then I have a direct pathway to my own hidden mind. So that's the core of the process of forgiveness and the how to reach inside yourself and change the content of your mind. Jeannie, does that kind of cover the question as it was asked?
Yeah, I believe it does. If the person that asked the question, if you're still not clear on that, then please tap back into the chat room there and add to it. The third question they asked, am I to understand that forgiveness is as simple as canceling the goal to isolate the real originating issue, identifying that feeling, reaction as corrupt, and choosing to throw out that data, to just delete what doesn't belong?
In essence, that's it. And the way it's deleted, the way it's removed, is you'll see in the worksheet process there are two steps that are at the core. Once you've established the goal, that goes, in the seven-step worksheet in particular, let's talk about that one. In the seven-step worksheet, in step three, you identify a goal that you're holding for whatever the object of your hostility or fear is, whether it's the car, the spouse, the child, the chair in the middle of the room. You identify the goal you hold. You bring that down to step five, and you cancel your need for it. It's like, okay, I'm going to cancel that, let loose of it. And then, because underlying, especially the deeper hostilities and fears, there's a whole chain of those hostilities and fears throughout our lives, there's a whole chain that tends to go throughout our genetics. And because the processing capacity of the human mind is limited in terms of conscious awareness, then there's another step, and that step is you've brought forward. You know, step three, you identified the goal. Step four, you went back and you went into the practice of making love or bringing love conscious, active, and present in you. And in Aramaic, there was a specific form of that love that was an elemental force that would undo the effects of errors and teach the truth. And so you ask that elemental force to come into action and activity throughout your mind and your genetics to undo that and let it loose. And so it's that two-step process of canceling. When you start out, you locate the goal, you look at who the object of attention is, you identify what your feeling is, what your thoughts are, you identify the goal, you cancel the goal, you invite that power to go to work. And then you document how your perception shifts, how the output of your mind shifts. And one of the magical things that invariably happens is that people get to learn things about themselves they didn't know. Because as long as we're just looking at the output of our minds, we're looking at the tip of the iceberg. And underneath every situation where there's any kind of hostility and fear, every situation, underneath it, there's something hidden from us. And so what the forgiveness process does is it exposes you to your own dissociated dynamics. When I say dissociated, the minute we don't want to be responsible for what is happening in our lives, we deny and therefore dissociate from something in ourselves. We then forget that it's there. We then don't have access to it. And people say, well, if that were true about me, I would know it. It's like, no, that's why we call it the dissociated mind. That's why we call it, another term for it is the unconscious. In the ancient teachings, it was called the heart. And if I'm going to let go of those unconscious dynamics, then what happens is by canceling the goal that I have, I get to find what's hidden in my heart. And when I do, I get to clean it up. And then I'll get to the point where I'll be in exactly the same situation I was yesterday, and I won't find myself going into that rage or fear. You know, there's an interesting quote goes all the way back. And, you know, when you go back into the Aramaic, the original scriptures in their Aramaic language, we were in Florida a couple months ago, and we met with a rabbi. And one of the comments the rabbi made to me was, you know, Michael, he said, all of our wisdom keepers were Aramaic. Yes. And the word heart in Aramaic, or what has been translated by the Greeks as heart, we have labored for almost 2,000 years of the West without understanding or knowing what that word meant. And it's just since the unconscious has been rediscovered that we've been able to understand what that word heart meant. And there's a quote all the way back in Jeremiah. It's actually Jeremiah 17:9. And it says, the heart is more deceitful than all else. What does that mean? That means that once you deny and dissociate from something, you create this unnatural condition, a heart, an unconscious. And when you create that unnatural condition called the unconscious, it lies to you. Everything it tells you is a fraud. Now, how do you tell which is which? How do you tell what's a fraud and what's not? Well, it's actually very simple. If any form of perception comes up in your mind that has attached to it any form of hostility or fear, it's a lie. It's a fraud. You're being deceived. And so they understood these dynamics. They actually even had a word. It wasn't a word. It was a suffix that they added to a word that indicated that our perception was being controlled and our behavior was being controlled from the lie, from the unconscious. So in Jeremiah, they said it's the most deceitful. Now, not deceitful in terms of you know, some cunning thing that's out to get us, just that we've instructed it in all kinds of frauds and all kinds of lies. And you can easily see in your own life where you've instructed your mind to lie to you. All you have to do is admit to yourself that 1,000 times you've said, they made me, whatever you put behind it, sad, angry, afraid, fearful, you know, whatever it is. You just trained your mind in fraud. So now every time that sad, angry, fear, whatever it is, starts to come to the surface, your unconscious, your heart, your dissociated mind deceives you. They understood this. The work of forgiveness is where each of us human beings get to clean up the heart, the unconscious, the dissociated mind. And that's what Mind Shifters Radio is about. That's what our whole body of work, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, is about. And that's why we're in Oregon this week. Actually, the next 2 weeks. We've got, I think, 14 free workshops over the next two weeks and a couple of days. And so if you're in this neck of the woods, check our website, catch the flyers, and come and join us. Otherwise, on the 23rd, we fly to Florida. We'll be the 24th. We'll be keynoting at an alternative medical conference there in Hallandale Beach, Florida, at a place called the Regency Resort. And then the next week, we'll be heading back to Missouri. On the 18th of July, we'll start with a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive. And in that 9 days, here's what we'll pack into 9 days. We'll pack in, of course, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, healing through relationships, communication, did you hear what I think I said? Purpose, personal power and commitment, empowered to heal, mind shifters, hands-on energy work, and still point breathing. And we're going to actually put an extra piece in there as well that we don't normally do in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, and that's going to be some of the work on codependence to interdependence. So that'll be our schedule starting the 18th of July. If you're ready to come and boost your work to another level, come play, come join us. Look on the website under schedules. You can check out exactly what we're doing. And tonight we're actually going to be at a place called Peace House, I believe it is. Yeah, Peace House in Ashland, Oregon. And we're going to do a kind of an abbreviated, we've actually got about an hour there, an abbreviated presentation on Why Is This Happening to Me Again. Tomorrow night, we're going to be doing some introduction work to A Course in Miracles. So we've got lots happening. And we welcome you to join us, to be a participant in what we're doing. Jeannie, any questions? You look like you have a caller. Area code 208. Jeannie got disconnected, so I get to welcome you. Area code 208. You're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Michael. It's Connie.
Well, hey there, young lady. How are you? Thank you for being willing to get up at 4 o'clock this morning to drive us to the airport.
You're welcome. I do have something to share with the group, but I am at the postal place, and I have a question, and I didn't know of any other way to get a hold of you at this time.
Oh, okay.
The address you gave me is 2090, yes. And you put C-E-E-K. Is that right, or should it be Creek?
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll get Jeannie to look it up, and we'll repeat it back to you, the address for where we're going to be. If you'll look that up, sweetie. And then you have something to share?
I'm at the postal place right now. I do have something to share.
Oh,
cool. Okay, so you know that I'm going on a trip, and I have been I told you yesterday I was starting to miss my dog, and, you know, I had this missing thing going on.
Right.
Now, I've been having a lot of anxiety, which has been increasing as I get ready to go on this trip about leaving my dog. And it's just, you know, I've been trying to do forgiveness around it, and I'm thinking, why am I so distraught about leaving the dog? And I've, you know, just been trying to do some work on it, but as the days get closer, I've been more and more distraught about leaving the dog. Well, this morning, it's finally dawned on me why I am so anxious about it. Several years ago, I went on a business trip, and while I was on the business trip, the dog that I had at that time that I dearly loved died suddenly, unexpectedly, while I was gone. And it was at a time in my life that was a very, the dark night of the soul. My dog died.
Right.
I was going through a divorce, and the person that I had worked for 22 years died, all in about a 30-day period of time. And then several other things happened, like four or five other things, but those were the three biggest. And
simultaneously. Now we've got the file folder effect going.
Yes. And so it was like of all those things that was difficult, and they were all difficult, my dog dying, I felt like was the hardest thing for me to deal with, because it was like, well, she loved me, you know, unconditionally, and the dog and I had been through a lot of hard times together, and she was a real companion to me. And so when she died suddenly, I was really distraught about it, plus all the other stuff, which did make for an interesting dark night of the soul that I got to go through. Well, so anyway, it finally dawned on me this morning that I have a lot of fear related to leaving, because I don't want anything to happen to Indigo while I'm gone, because of the pattern that I had, you know, in my cellular memory about the other dog. So I went through the forgiveness process, you know, to deal with that issue, and immediately I felt a great sense of relief, you know, about going, and like I felt a lot more at peace about it. And it was one of those things where it was such a big issue that I didn't realize that it was like a big ball was lifted out of my stomach. I could feel it. And like for an hour, I could just feel, it almost felt like an empty place in my stomach, but it was all tingling and, you know.
I gotcha.
It was like a big chunk came out. And I'm actually still processing it, but I did figure out what the situation is, and I did, then I was able to deal with it, and now I feel quite a bit better.
So I'm getting God bumps as you say that, Connie.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's like, I'm like, why am I so distraught about leaving this dog? And then finally it was like, well, because you're in fear. I'm like, oh, well, no wonder I'm in fear. So anyway, I just am sharing that with you, and I will get back to mailing the package.
Okay.
Awesome, awesome.
Okay. Give you the address.
You texted it to me?
Yep,
Tina
just
texted it to you.
Okay, perfect.
Was it the street name you needed to get clear on?
Yeah, it was C-E-E-K, and that just doesn't seem like a real...
Creek.
It's yeah, Creek. That's, I figured you had left out a letter.
Did I miss the R? You know,
yeah,
that just reminds me. That reminds me of the story of the Pope, when the Pope died and went to heaven, and God said, you know, you've been such a great Pope, I'm going to give you anything you want. And the Pope said, you know, I've always wanted to check out your library. Can I go into your library? And so the Pope disappears, and he's gone to the library. They don't see him for months. And they're like, you know, geez, you know, it's such a huge library. And all of a sudden, one day, you hear this scream from deep in the bowels of the library. And the Pope comes out pulling his hair out. There's an R! There's an R! And you know, they stop him. It's like, what's going on? It wasn't celibate. It was celebrate. There's an R! So there's an R in Creek. I goofed. Excuse me.
Okay, that's very funny. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, Connie. Thank you. And again, we appreciate the blessing of you housing us and supporting us while we were there in Las Vegas. And we'll look forward to seeing you at teacher's training in just a few weeks.
Okay. All right. I'll be there.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Blessings. All righty. So, Jeannie, I tell you what, I've got a thought or two I want to throw in about what Connie just had to share with us, because it's so powerful. And you think, you know, well, gee, you know, How could something like that be so important? It's so important because when we lock hostility or fear into tissue, we begin a process of degeneration. And Connie, that's an awesome example. And, you know, Connie has been doing, she's been on the show a couple of times before, a huge amount of work for the last, I guess it's about 3 years now. But, you know, we think of degenerative disease as, well, something got us. There's obviously some kind of bug or some kind of virus or some kind of something that got us. But actually, degeneration that appears to have to do with time, and it looks like, well, you know, you just get older, and as you get older, things start to fall apart. That's just the way it is. Excuse me, that's all a fraud. That's all a lie. Things don't get older and fall apart. What happens is we put degenerative energy into tissue, and because that happens over time, it looks like that degeneration is related to time. And it doesn't have anything to do with it. It's got to do with what we've locked into our tissue structure, what we deny and dissociated from. So the degeneration that appears to have to do with time is a learned response. Now, there's an interesting quote that just recently came out from the CDC. Here we have pretty ultra-conservative CDC recently came out and said at least 85%, and I would offer it's 100%, but at least 85% of all disease has, in their words, a strong emotional component. Now, I'd offer it's 100%. Energetically, when we put things into tissue that don't belong in tissue, and those things are all marked by hostility and fear. It's like the Creator put a warning signal in us when we're engaging in something that doesn't belong. It's called hostility and fear. So this degeneration that appears to have to do with time and they call aging is actually a learned response. There's a place called the DeCourcy Clinic in Cincinnati. I heard their research once quoted about 30 years ago, and it so impressed me that I've never forgotten the quote from the first time I heard it. And here's what they said. A group of medical researchers said, "Time is not toxic. Time has no effect on tissue under any condition. It is a belief in the effects of time by those who subscribe to such a belief that acts as a poison." So this thing called degeneration that appears to have to do with time is a learned response, and it's the learning of 1,000 generations. Once an ancestor made an error that their degeneration had to do with time rather than their own folly, that error became compounded in each succeeding generation. So once we forgot what we did to ourselves, we passed that forgetting on, and of course we lived and languaged and spoke out of that conversation of it's about time, and you know, you just age and you just naturally, your parts fall apart and you die. Once that error was made and we denied that we put the energy in that creates the degeneration, each succeeding generation bought in deeper and deeper and deeper. And the end result is the insanity that we see in our culture called a world of hostility and fear, a world of war, a world of aging. They tell us aging is natural, it's inevitable. Excuse me, that's a total fraud. It's not inevitable. But it'll look like it happened because of time if on a daily basis you buy into and reinforce perceptions based in hostility and fear. And you know, it's interesting how we get to play these things out and the gifts we get. Connie and I were standing in the kitchen yesterday just having an offhanded conversation, and the words came out of her mouth about missing the dog. And I said, well, gee, you know, that's an interesting reality that you would play out with missing the dog. And then we got to talking about kids. And, you know, one of the things I never did was teach my children to miss me. And Connie said, well, that's one of the things that I do. And it's like, well, you know, that's something that's based in fear. Why would we do that? Oh, well, just because that's what our generations have done. So, Connie, thanks for taking our conversation to heart, literally to heart, touching the part of your unconscious that you identified as your stomach and taking that ball of fear out of your stomach and throwing it away. There's a piece of degeneration that's not going to have to happen in your bloodline ever again. You open the energy window. And that's a major contribution to our celebration, day 11 of Memorial Day, of healing the things that are the cause of war. Jeannie, you've got a call for us.
We actually have two callers on the line. The first one is area code 541. You're on the air. Who do we have?
And where are you calling from, 541?
Oh, are you talking to
hello,
me?
Hello, 541. I think I'm talking to you. Yes,
oh,
welcome.
Hello. I was just calling to give you my address, and then I texted it instead. Julie.
Okay. Who are we talking to? Oh, Julie. Oh, okay. Hey, I didn't realize you were on the line. So, oh, what an awesome blessing this is. So we went from Connie's house, and now we're at Julie's house, and Julie's hosting us here. And Julie was actually the one, along with their friend Ed, who invited us to come up here and have just really worked to get this message spread around the whole valley here. And we just met Julie, an hour and a half, 2 hours ago?
Yeah.
And for the first time, we've been speaking on the phone for some time, but thank you. We're delighted to be here, and we're looking at this awesome flyer and what we're going to be doing in Ashland over the next week. It's cool.
Yeah. Well,
very good. Well, Julie,
the
is there anything
caller.
To share?
Yeah.
Is there anything else to share with us while you're here? And why did you invite us to come here anyway?
Oh, wow. Well, I was introduced to you because the relationship I'm in was going through some bumps, and some very good friends of my partner had your DVD at their home, and they were very aware of you for many years. And so I guess we reached a point where we were ready to hear your message and really put it to work in our relationship. So we ordered all of your DVDs. I've listened to every one of them twice, I think, and I've invited friends over and to also see the DVDs. The excitement has just been building for your work, and I just feel like so much of humanity really has been doing this work, preparing the ground for a huge shift for all of us. I think we can just be there almost, you know, we can just have this be the way we live. And it's so exciting because you've really simplified it and you give the assurance that it really works. And I am feeling things lifting. I feel younger, you know, problems are solving. And with the added benefit of knowing that we're clearing it through all our generations, which really reaches all humanity, it's just awesome.
That is awesome,
and we're ready. We're ready. So I wanted
very
to bring
cool.
you
well,
to Ashland to share you with this community, but also Medford and all surrounding areas, because it's just the way we want to live. So all we have to do is choose it. There's no separation. There's no different cities, different countries, different worlds, you know?
Cool. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just we humans, and I love what Einstein says. He says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. There's only one of us. I don't care who you're thinking about, and one of the ways that our culture creates separation is through the words that it uses to describe somebody who's different from us geographically or skin color or size or shape or whatever. And the truth is, on an energetic level, there's just one of us, and we need to, once we realize that, once we make that real, then war is going to evaporate, and there our celebration of Memorial Day is going to have given us the fruit that we've been looking for, and the eradication of war from the planet. So thank you for being willing to bring us here. Just one other thing, while we're talking about it, you know, you mentioned the folks who brought us in, and actually the folks or that introduced you to the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're
it was about, yeah, it was almost 30 years ago that a friend in Florida brought me in to do a workshop there, similar to what you did. And that's where those folks were introduced to it. And one of the questions I ask, one of the workshops I do is communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And Jeannie and I do a demonstration, and we do this actually in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop as well. We do a demonstration of how what we tend to do is just, you know, exchange and create bags of garbage and pass it on to our partner and expect them to be responsible for what's happening in us. And then we demonstrate a thing called responsibility communication. And, you know, we identify projection communication, and when I say you made me mad, I'm using projection language, and I'm pretending, I'm lying to myself, pretending that what's going on inside of me is caused by you. And then we demonstrate the alternative to that is, you know, what you just did, what you just said really brought some anger up in me. Then I'm using responsibility communication. And you'll see when we do the full Why workshop on Sunday, I then ask people, well, how many here have ever, you know, how many were brought up in the home where when mom got really upset, you know, turned to dad and said, you know, when you didn't get home in time for dinner and were drunk when you got here, you know, that really brought anger up in me and I really need to heal my anger. And, you know, I've never had anybody raise their hand. And I'll ask them, and how many had the dad when he went into a fit of rage who'd say, you know, gee, dear, when you did that, that brought rage up in me. And I've only ever had one person who raised their hand when I asked that question. And that was about 3 months ago on a yacht in Biscayne Bay. The young man that raised his hand was the son of the gentleman who brought the DVD to you. He did my work about 30 years ago. And his son's the first person in all those years I've ever had raise their hand and say, yeah, my father did that. So it's just, you know, cool the way the circles come around. It's three decades later, and here we are. So it's very cool.
Yeah.
You know, we got to reconnect with those folks in Florida did that the last trip, and that's when he got the DVD. So I'm just, you know, I love how the chain of things works out. And so thank you for hosting us and creating such a sweet space for us.
You're very welcome.
All right. Blessings. Look forward to playing with you for the next couple of weeks.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Blessings. Bye-bye. Jeannie, you've got another caller.
We do. Area code 804. You're on the air.
804. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Hello. I'm the president of the International Fan Club for Michael Rice. You have trillions of people who drop to their knees when you come walking in the room. Because you bring
Edward,
salvation,
you're such a sweet talking guy.
and hope to all of us plebeians in lower consciousness. But after you came to Las Vegas and shared your teachings with the Unity Center and Reverend Sophia, you changed our lives. And for Edward to experience a sense of completeness and wholeness at particular moments in my life, gosh, Michael, you are definitely the most transcended man on earth. Thank
well,
you.
You might want to talk to my wife about that a little bit and my kids. But
I can't tell you.
I really...
Go ahead.
Well, I thank you for the acknowledgement and the part we've played, but I'd offer that, you know, there are lots of other people that hear us that don't say those sorts of things. And of course, the reason is because they didn't take the tool and do the work. And Edward, I acknowledge you, even though you stood in a significant share of resistance on more than one occasion.
Yes, sir.
As we know.
Yes, sir.
You took the tool and you put it to work. and you're experiencing the fruit, not of my work, but of your work.
Well,
and the work
you.
I'm doing isn't my work. It's the work of a man named Yeshua who came to understand in the genius that he did it with how forgiveness works. What you do to collapse this game of projection and old genetic content, the drama and trauma, and wake up to a human life. And Edward, we welcome you in the fact that you selected to do that work and that you've created. I mean, you've shared, of course, over the last few weeks, so many changes that have happened for you. And we're just delighted to be the instrument and the vehicle to support you and acknowledge you for your work. Because each person has to do their own. There's nobody's going to fix it for them.
I can only tell you this, Michael. My number one problem all my life has been feeling terrorized, and that the next person out here, especially when it comes to work, that the next manager was going to hurt me. And I didn't realize till I started doing the worksheets and some of this resistance came up that I realized that there was something deeper at the core, and that every time I did a worksheet, something else was imploding. And what I found out was that, no, people are not out to hurt me. I found out that this was a projection of my father walking through the living room, looking at me, never hurting me or touching me, and never hurting me verbally, but the look as what the demonstration that you all did in a workshop with you and beautiful Jeannie standing there, and she gave you the look. And I realized at that split moment, there was the look of my father, and so I projected that for the rest of my life on anybody in authority. And the relationship with my manager is just off the chart now. In my intensity, I realize that I communicate signals to other people, and obviously I do something to them at the unconscious level. And maybe sometimes they are fearful of my intensity. Well, what I found out, it was my own anger that is bringing out other people's reactions to me. And what you've taught me is to look within and see that it's the ultimate, you know, sensation is true forgiveness. But I can't get there unless I feel love. And that's what opened me at the core level, was to feel love. And now it's the most interesting thing. Even when I go to work, my attitude is, it's not me against the manager. It's about me as a part of his sales team, and that I'm working together, and I'm in just extending to him a sense of love. And it's the most amazing thing. He can be very intense, and I notice that now he comes around and he asks me for opinions and advice. So working these worksheets has brought out another part of my suppressed personality, waiting to be loved. And boy, it's really working for me now, because I brought a relationship into my life, and I brought good business into my life, and I brought a feeling of wholeness. And thanks to you people, gosh, Michael, I've been in so many workshops around the United States for the last 30-some years. You are the quintessential of class in teaching, sir, and I thank you very much.
Well, Edward, I am absolutely delighted to be on the team, and glad to be sharing the planet with you. Acknowledge
you
for your willingness to really dig in.
Good luck in Oregon. Those people are lucky. You will change their lives.
That's our plan. Well, they'll change their lives. We'll just give them the tools and the support.
Well, I'll be in touch with you, and have a wonderful, wonderful couple weeks there.
Okay. Blessings. Appreciate you.
Blessings to you.
Thanks, Edward. Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
Take care. All right. Well, Jeannie, any questions in the chat room? Any comments? And, you know, let me just, before you start, honey, let me just throw out that what Edward's saying is an absolutely typical result to forgiveness. Now, if you live in a world of hostility and fear, and this show, you're listening to this, these ideas for the first time, you know, half of the challenge is to give up what you already believe that isn't true. Anything that you believe that's based in hostility or fear. And I don't care how many times you've been through it. It's all a lie. You see, the way the world works when you're a creator is, first you make it up, then you believe it, and then you produce the evidence to prove that it's true. And once you make it up and believe it, you'll have a whole procession of people that will come in, as Edward said, bounce off of your energy. There are literal measurable energy waves. They'll bounce off your energy, and they'll play it back to you. And when they play it back to you, your mind will convince you that the problem's out there, but you'll notice that the trauma and the pain is in your tissue structure. As Connie shared with us in the last call, you know, over getting ready to do a trip, that's an awesome trip. She's going to play with her family, and her family's tapping in and watching the DVDs, and she's just delighted about that. But there's this underlying fear that she wasn't touching into, one that's been going on in her body for years. And when she collapses that with forgiveness, there's the root of it, and you remove it. But until then, there'd always be a reason to play it out. And so as you are willing to do your work, and I don't care how many times you made it up, how many times you believed it, and how many times you went out and produced evidence to prove that it's true, the absolute truth about the world is that it's made up of the stuff called love. The only thing that's true about you is that you are made of the stuff called love. And when you allow yourself to uncover that, when you start deleting all the frauds based in hostility or fear, as Edward just shared with us, it all changes. The people around you change. Your life changes. We're here to put an end to war on planet Earth. When we can get enough people, and we don't have to get all 7 billion insane minds. And when we talk about insane, my definition of insane is a mind without the active presence of love. We don't have to get 7 billion people to change that. All we need is a critical mass. That's the reason we have this radio show. That's the reason Jeannie and I are on the road. Wherever we're invited on the globe, if we can afford to take the work there, we'll take it there and share it and put it into people's hands. Because what we know is there's this absolute master 2,000 years ago that said, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. I think we can fairly safely assume that he wasn't talking about bread. The loaf is humanity. And the lack of the active presence of love leads us to the craziness that's going on our planet, the craziness that's led us to the point where in the last century on this planet, we have killed in war in excess of 200 million people. Now, you want to talk about suffering, pain, and turmoil. If you've ever lost a loved one, think about 200 million people murdered on this planet in the last century, in the lifetime of many of us. Feel that if you can. And if you've suffered as a result of that, which everybody on the planet has, and you choose to face one issue today in your life, use that forgiveness process and remove it, you will become a healer of war. You will become one who will create the critical mass. And what that means is when we create critical mass, when we get enough human beings who actually incarnate in this world, that is, a human being, and we define a human life very, very simply. Hold a newborn child, you know what human life is. When we can get enough people, and I don't know if you could hear the glow in Edward's voice as he's speaking about, there's the active presence of love in this human life. We get enough people doing that, we will literally create an energy field that will transform the whole of humanity. In the ancient scriptures where they understood the physics of it, this is a physics language, they said the world will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. It will be transformed when we hit the critical mass of enough of us human forms actually engaging in the active presence of love. In the face of something that our genetic history would have raged over, grieved over, and been traumatized over, if we remove the rage, the grief, and the trauma, the active presence of love comes into our world. And when it does, we're all blessed, and we become blessings to each other. Jeannie, you look like you're reaching for the phone. You must have a caller for us or something in the chat room.
Yeah, in the chat room there was a couple things. One of the people and I were having a conversation about why people had to die, and we talked about, you know, that you put energies in and enough cells break down, and that we do it to ourselves. But then they made a comment that in their consciousness that they saw love as being acceptance of all probability. And so love, explain a little that love is ourself, but it's not, and we don't have to accept everything. That's not what love is about. But then they went on and asked a question. They said that they noticed that for some reason, all day today, they were getting information on where people are talking about pain and bad feelings and such things as forgiveness. And what is the energy trying to tell them or bring to their attention? Because it's like they keep running across that all day today.
Cool. Sounds like a good day for healing. So when you talk about what love is, and it's got nothing to do with acceptance. Love is the being that we are. Hold a newborn child, and you know what the active presence of love is. You know what a human life is. That's our definition. And a common question is, okay, so we do forgiveness. Now, what you mean by forgiveness is that means you just accept everything and everybody? No, you don't accept everything and everybody, and that's not forgiveness. That can be one of the effects of forgiveness, but it's not forgiveness itself. So if you try to accept everybody without forgiveness, what you'll have to do is you'll have to bury all the garbage you have around whatever that person is doing. So if you have hostility or fear, and you go, well, here's this person coming in that I have fear of, but I'll just accept them. I'll deny and dissociate from my fear. Then what will end up happening is you'll have resentment toward them, and that resentment will be a disorder in your physiology. It will change your cellular chemistry into a diseased state. So I ask you the question, do you have resentment? By trying to accept what is unacceptable, you create disease processes in yourself. So if you go back into the ancient Aramaic, you'll find that there was no acceptance requirement in the law. We live in a culture that says, well, you know, just accept everybody and everything. Excuse me. No, that is not a requirement. If insanity enters into your space, you have every right, I would even go so far as to say you have the obligation to hold that insanity accountable and invite it to shift. Now, if you're in pain or turmoil about it, do your own work first. Don't go trying to take the speck out of their eye while you have a huge log in your own. You want to do your own forgiveness work first. Come to the situation where there's something that's unacceptable and hold the space for change to take place. So you need not, in fact, should not accept insanity. That's not required. Again, there's no accept requirement in the law. You're required to love, to be love, not to accept everybody's misbehavior. So once we're recognizing who we are, hold the newborn, you know what the active presence of love is, you know what you as a human being are. You are the active presence of love. And as you begin to bring that forward, and insanity showing up in your space, it will begin to dissipate and disappear. And you will transform the whole world around you. So that's where we want to go with this work. It's not about you just accept everything and everybody. Somebody comes into your space doing crazy stuff, you don't have to accept that. But if you've got crazy stuff about their crazy stuff, which is what probably is attracting it, then you'll get the chance to forgive that. And that's what we're inviting you to do, is to forgive everything in you that is unlike the active presence of love. And as you forgive everything in you that is unlike the active presence of love, you get to function as a human being. And as a human being, you will experience the active presence of love in your physiology 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As you forgive every form of hostility or fear, you will clean out your generations. And as you clean out your generations, past, present, you open the space for the future ones to heal. And as you heal, all of life around you gets the opportunity to shift based upon your support. And we are here to support you in having the absolute best year yet of your eternal life. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.